Welcome, everyone, to episode 248 of the NBA Podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today we are going to have a dialogue about Russell Westbrook, where he should go, how much trade value he has, what OKC should want in return. We're going to hit all of that and more. Before we get into that, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. It would really help us out. And we're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Joining me today, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
So, Brian, it's going well, but we need to have a discussion.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so I've actually been asked by a Dane here the other day. So the reason Brian introduces you, I guess, a staple genius, is that because you're a Trump supporter? And I just wanted to get that out of the way immediately. Like, I am certainly not.
It is a very sarcastic greeting. Let's just leave it at that.
Thank you. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say we need to have a dialogue about Russell Westbrook, and I agree that we do. This whole episode's going to be about that. I know you have not been the biggest Westbrook fan, so we need to couch the slander as much as we can here. I think we're going to start from the OKC side of things, and we need to look at this thing objectively. Like, how much trade value does Russell Westbrook have is the big question we have to tackle before we can get into what team he might end up on.
Right.
So is
that the question?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the factors you have to consider are the contract value itself, mm-hmm. which is, I think, inarguably bad. You know, he's 4 years, about $170 million. It's a lot of money. He's going to be making mm-hmm. $47 million in the final year of that deal. So that is a negative value asset. His age is not working in his favor. But he is still a productive player to some extent. He's averaged a triple double the past three seasons. I know it's a round number and who really cares, but still, before 3 years ago, we thought we'd never see that happen again after Oscar Robertson.
It's historic. Absolutely. Right. I agree. Yeah.
He is not a great shooter, so you have to keep that in consideration. But otherwise, I mean, he is still an all-star caliber player, and for a team that is capped out and doesn't have a realistic pathway to another star, he's an option. So with all that in mind, Mort, what do you think a realistic trade package for OKC looks like? What should they want in return for Westbrook here?
Well, what they want and what will be offered are two very different things, in my opinion. Mm. Obviously, what they want is very much immediate salary relief mm-hmm. because they're capped out. They have so much money on their books. And they know that trading Westbrook means going all in on a rebuild.
Yep.
So obviously you don't want to go through a rebuild with just a ton of cap space just locked up. That mm-hmm. would just be illogical. Question is if they can get that. But if I'm OKC, I'm also going to have to be realistic. I'm not calling teams and saying, hey, you know what? We want one of your best prospects, and we want an unprotected first rounder in 2022 or whatever.
Like, right.
There's no way in hell they're going to get that because of that contract. I know that you mentioned, hey, let's you know, go down on the slander. Just, it's not necessarily slander. Why I've been harsh on Westbrook is because I see him mentioned in the same breath as Steph Curry all the time yeah. on Twitter. I see him consistently being... You, even by you, you had that whole thing, is he better? Is Damian Lillard better than Russell Westbrook? I was like, yeah, he is. And I think his status is the problem, really. I think people just have way too high an opinion of him. Like, he is obviously good. A player in the NBA who averages a triple-double 3 years in a row. Mm-hmm. Like, indisputably, that's good. The thing is, that doesn't mean squat to NBA teams who look at contracts, who look at age, and who look at team fit.
Right.
Now, for Russell Westbrook specifically, his fit is always going to be questionable because he can't shoot.
Yep.
The contract is ghastly, and he's going to be 31 in the early part of the season.
Yep.
Furthermore, there's a personality issue. Not saying Russ is a bad guy, because by any stretch, and like, he's not. Everything we read about him, like, he's very, very contributing in the OKC community. Like, he's a good guy. Right. But there are some issues, because OKC, in the way that they've done it, have basically structured their entire franchise around him and his preferences and his way of handling things. Like, when I don't think I've ever seen them discipline him for the way that he's, you know, spoken to the media, for example. Or if they have, I've completely missed it. Do you remember any instance of that?
I do not, no.
Right. So he's got carte blanche there, and I don't think other teams would be as lenient, want to say.
Right.
And I think that factors in his overall trade value. Like, I get that it's off the court stuff, but that matters, right?
Yeah. And I mean, also, not, this isn't necessarily, as you said, he's not a bad guy. All of his teammates, right, from, you know, even Paul George and Kevin Durant, have come to his defense in terms of he is a good person, but his personality and demeanor on the court might leave something to be desired. You said, right, he's not a great shooter, but, you know, he's a career 30.8% three-point shooter, but he continues to take a high volume of three-point attempts and just bad shots, just ill-advised early shot clock in transition, like he's Stephen Curry, but he's not. He's very much the opposite of that. And at this point, 11 years into his NBA career, maybe he can change. Maybe if he goes to a different system, maybe if he goes under Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley in Miami, they can hammer those out of him. But probably not, right? Yeah. At this point, you almost have to assume Russ is who he is, and he's probably so set in his ways that if you're expecting a wholesale change from him in a new team, I think you need to reevaluate your expectations.
Yeah. No, I mean, the one argument I can find against that is that he's been with OKC specifically his entire career.
Sure.
So going to a new situation would be such a life-changing experience for him that he kind of just naturally accept the fact that it's not the same.
Yeah.
Whereas some journeyman like Jimmy Butler, because he's been on four teams in 4 years, will probably expect certain things.
Right.
Like, regardless of where he is.
Right.
But that's still a long shot. Like, you don't know. That's an unknown. You don't know if Russell is going to accept going to a different team where things are handled differently. You just don't know. Mm-hmm. What you do know is, and I just said it, we do know he can't shoot. You do know that for some reason his free throw stroke, because maybe he wasn't allowed to do this, you know, his whole thing, has gone down by almost 20 percentage points in 2 years.
Yep.
You do know that his defense, which he once was lauded for and known for coming into the league, is nowadays arguably his worst attribute.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what's the upside in trading for him when you look at it? Like, okay, you sent me an outline on email before we started recording where you said triple doubles equals butts in seats.
Right, right.
That's basically it, right? Like, you get some name recognition, and yeah, you get fans to buy tickets, but are you ultimately improving your product? I don't know. I mean, obviously it depends on what you're sending out,
right?
But, and you could obviously improve your product, but I suspect it's only marginally. I don't think he's going to come in and be MVP Russ. I just don't. He seems so far away from that.
Right.
I don't think he's going to come in and be a 40% three-point shooter. I don't see him come in and say, hey, guys, you know what? I'm just going to settle with 12 shots. I'm not going to take any pull-ups in transition anymore.
Right, right, exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you said it well. I don't know that he makes a material difference in terms of your championship upside. I think he gives you a much higher floor. So if that's something your owner is concerned about, we've missed the playoffs for the past 5 years, and we just want to win 45 games and make it into the first round and get knocked out, but at least we get a couple games of playoff revenue, then right, I think Russ makes a lot of sense in that regard. And for a couple of the teams we'll talk about today, they don't have an obvious pathway to get another star, whether because they're capped out or because they have a bunch of bloated contracts on their books already, or just because they're not a superstar free agent destination. They're not an LA or New York. Or, I mean, Miami is a superstar destination, but they have a bad, bunch of bad contracts on their books. So,
right.
For those teams, I think there is some sense in trading for him. I think if OKC really wants to this offseason, and it seems like they will, they can find a trade partner for him. But as you said, they're not going to get the haul they just got for Paul George. But, I mean, really, they got more for Paul George than they should have, because the Clippers rightfully said, hey, we're not just getting Paul George, we're getting Paul George and Kawhi, so we don't care how much we give up.
Right.
And I saw, I was listening to the Drunk Pod with Beck and Lowe and Rachel Nichols yesterday, and they made the point.
Oh my God, it was so good.
Yeah, it really was. If you guys haven't listened to it, it's a two-parter. The first is on the Lowe post, the second is on Beck's Full 48. Both are excellent. But they're so drunk. Yeah. They made the point that because they got so much for Paul George, they don't necessarily need to get a gigantic haul for Russell Westbrook too.
Right.
Which I think was really smart. You could almost just treat both of these trades in conjunction and just look at the full sum of what we got for both of these guys. And if it's you got more for Paul George than you should have, and you got less than Russell Westbrook than you wanted to, that's okay, because you still own basically the Miami Heat's draft for the next 4 or 5 years, and you own the Clippers' drafts forever. So you have a very stable base of picks to go from, and you have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's going to be really good. Steven Adams, I'm guessing, will be the next one out the door after Russell Westbrook. You might be able to get something for him as well. So going back to what OKC should want, yes, ideally you get all three of cap relief picks and prospects. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're actually getting all three of those. I think the top priority for them is probably going to be cap relief, frankly, because right now, according to Jeff Siegel of Early Bird Rights, they're about $2.25 million over the luxury tax threshold, which means it should be pretty easy to get under that. They paid the repeater tax last year. They're going to want to get under the tax so they can just get out from repeater territory. And they don't they don't want to pay the tax. After you trade Paul George and Russell Westbrook, you are not going to harbor realistic playoff aspirations, right?
Really?
Yeah. So you're not going to want to pay the tax for a team that is probably going to struggle to win 30 to 35 games.
Right.
That's just how it is. So I think cap relief will be their top priority. And as we assemble some fake trade packages in this episode, keep that in mind. And then whatever combination of picks and prospects they can get is an added bonus. They'll want at least one of either one, I would assume. I don't think they would just do a straight salary dump for us, but I think that's kind of the starting point we need to approach this from.
Right. I think if push comes to shove, I mean, they're ready to accept just cap relief and nothing else. Because do they really want to start this year with Russ on the team?
I think the only reason they might is just because of the timing right now. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the last issue we should address before we start going into these teams, is because a lot of teams, Dallas is really the only team with more than $10 million in cap space right now. And because any free agent who signed with a team this summer can't be traded until December 15th at the earliest, that limits the number of teams that are able to make a move for him right now. Any team that signed a guy to a big contract, he can't be flipped right away. So that limits your pool to some extent. Now, some of the teams that have been mentioned as interested in Russ don't have that problem. They can assemble a trade right now because they have the salary flotsam to make it work. But if we're talking about a few teams that might have interest but just spend a lot of cap space and don't have the salary ballast right now, revisit it mid-December and you might have a wider pool of options from which to choose. But again, at that point, maybe Russ's trade value is lower than it is right now. I think if OKC, it seems motivated to do it right now.
Yeah, that's kind of my point. I don't think they want him going in on the roster or be on the roster on opening night. But you're absolutely right. If they wait to mid-December, I think it's the 15th. When you know you can trade a lot of these guys signed this summer. You know, obviously, the amount of teams will just open up. I mean, there are going to be so many possibilities. the Knicks among one candidate.
Right.
Look, this is just meant to be on some level.
Yeah, for sure.
But if they want him away now, what's funny to me is there are teams out there that can trade for him now, and it's mostly teams that have made horrendous mistakes in prior free agency classes because they've just overspent on role players.
Yep.
Which says a little about their situation. I also kind of think when you really look at it, the Charlotte Hornets should be in play here. Well, they have so many bad contracts.
They do.
Right?
They do.
I mean, Nick Batum?
God, can you imagine a team with Russ and Terry Rozier on a $20 million contract?
Hey, look, top five pick guaranteed.
Gross. Okay, so let's start going into these teams. Let's start with the Miami Heat, just because Woj mentioned them in particular as a team with interest and one that would interest Russ as well. Now, I wrote an article about this at Forbes last night, but basically, a two-team trade between Miami and OKC is very tricky. Miami is hard-capped since they got Jimmy Butler in a sign-and-trade, so they cannot exceed the apron at any point this year. They're less than $1 million away from the apron right now. OKC, as we just said, is going to want salary relief. So Miami would have to send out almost as much, if not more, salary than Russ is. He's earning $38.5 million this year. Yeah. Miami, because of the hard cap issues, would need to send out at least like almost $38 million, but they'd probably want to send out more because you're going to have to dump multiple players just because they don't have someone earning, you know, Jimmy Butler's at $32.7 million. Their next highest guy is Goran Dragic at $19.2 million. So they're going to have to trade multiple players. They'd be really, really thin if they didn't send out even more salary. So the hard cap issues on Miami's end. OKC wanting to duck the luxury tax. So you can't really make a deal work financially that satisfies both of their goals unless you loop in a third team. Which right. I think that's where the conversation needs to start if we're talking about a Miami Russ trade here.
Yeah, of course. Because, I mean, you just said it. Why would the OKC take on more money? Like, right. Why would they even accept a situation where they don't, you know, just dump a lot of cash via Westbrook? Like, it just makes sense.
Yeah.
So getting Dallas involved here, how much cap space do they have remaining?
They're at about $14.6 million, I believe, and that's according to Albert Nabad, who is, if you're not following him on Twitter, you should be.
Great, oh, yeah.
Everyone great cap should. Expert. You know, one of the most invaluable guys to follow at this time of year in particular.
Yeah, and also always put notifications on for him during like the first 10 days of July.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, he was all over. I think he was the first one that I saw with the Lakers thing in particular, where, you know, everyone was like, hey, the timing thing is a big issue and they're kind of screwed. And then he was like, well, actually, if they get Bonga and Jones and Wagner involved. I'm pretty sure he was the first one on that. And then also with the Brooklyn sign and trade stuff, he was all over that as well. So yes, give him a follow. But yeah, 14.6.
Yeah, he says 14.
Million. Yeah, 14.6. So they could not take Dragic or Johnson. They could take Justice Winslow, Kelly Olynyk, or Dion Waiters. I think of the three, Kelly Olynyk makes the most sense just because, A, they were rumored to be getting him in the Jimmy Butler sign and trade before that whole thing fell apart. And B, they're still pretty light in terms of their front court depth. They have Dwight Powell. They have Boban. And then it gets kind of hairy.
Yeah, I get that. But here's the thing. If it really depends on how interested Miami is in Westbrook here. If they're just all in on him and they're just wanting to go for it. If you're Dallas, you would want to squeeze the living hell out of that contract or that deal.
Oh, for sure.
You would want something. You don't want to settle for Kelly Olynyk. You go to them and say, you know what? We'll take Bam. Bam Adebayo, and we'll take something else that adds up contract-wise.
Yeah.
Maybe Dion Waiters and Bam Adebayo. Oof. Like, that's what we'll take. I'm pretty sure that's just slightly above what they have available.
Mm-hmm.
But they can finagle. But if I'm Dallas, that's my starting point. I'm going to go out and say, if you want Russ, which, you know, LOL, but that's not us doing that. If you want that, if you want Russ, you need our help. We want Bam. That's the cost of doing business.
See, I could at least see them going for a draft pick instead of Bam, but here's another
Miami doesn't have draft picks.
Right, there's another complication. Miami already owes an unprotected first, 2021 first to the Clippers, a lottery protected 2023 first to the Clippers. So the earliest first round pick they could send out is a conditional 2025 pick. Second rounders, they have traded almost every single one of their second round picks through 2026. They got nothing. So you could offer a conditional 2025 pick, or if I'm Dallas, I'm saying, okay, give us a 2022 pick swap.
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably preferring Adebayo at this point if it comes down to it, but I'll take it. I'm not going to settle for a Linick.
Yeah, I mean, at 20, if that really is the double draft year, getting a pick swap in that year, and a Linick he's good. He's not like a bad asset. I mean, he's got, it looks like, a $13.2 million player option next summer that, honestly, I think he probably declines it just because the free agent class is so bad. Someone will pay him next summer more than that.
So I'm going to disagree with you on that, because we said the same thing about this summer, and I just had a piece up on Forbes about how NBA teams, for the most part, just nailed 2019 free agency.
Yeah, like, they did.
But there were not a lot of desperation contracts.
But a lot of guys still opted out of player, like Valanciunas turning down his, Harrison Barnes turning down his.
Yeah, and Valanciunas, in some regards, lost on that, is at least when you look at the annual salary.
Yeah.
Like, he went down. Well, he went from 17.6 to $15 million a year.
Yeah, and Barnes went down slightly, too. But they just locked
in. Yeah, but he signed with the Kings, though. We agree that was a bad deal. Who the hell out there is going to pay for Kelly Olynyk, though?
Do the Knicks not have a bunch of guys on two-year team option deals? Are they not plotting to have? And apparently, the Timberwolves are flouting around here trying to create max space for next summer. In a year where there's no free agents worth giving a max contract to, Timberwolves are flying in with 30 plus million. That's why they didn't match the offer sheet on Tyus Jones last night. And Woj said part of the reason why was because they want max contract space.
Yeah, no, that was dumb. Tyus is going to be so good in Memphis.
Memphis is doing a phenomenal job with their rebuild.
They're doing so well. I'm flabbergasted. But again, I'm just going back to Linick. I get that he's a stretch shooter from a big position, like a stretch four, stretch five, 7 feet tall, all of that. And he can pass. That's all fine and well. He's not a great defender. Mm-hmm. He is not a great rebounder. He's very limited in his role, right? Like, he's basically a pick and pop player, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. Like, you can now, and you saw the market for bigs this year.
Yeah.
Like, backup bigs, $5 million a year. Almost the few exceptions were players who could play multiple positions and had sort of a perimeter game to them, like Thaddeus Young, for example. Mm-hmm. Like, Kelly Olynyk is not going to get more than $5 million a year when he's an unrestricted free agent. So why would Dallas, in their own right, you know, in their own mind, go, hey, let's take on Kelly Olynyk and no additional assets? Like, they should want to take Olynyk and go, well, we want a lot for taking on Olynyk.
Yeah,
he's not going to be worth it.
Right. I don't think they would take him with no additional compensation. I think they would have to get at least a pick swap, if not a prospect from Miami. But I think, you know, a pick swap seems like a fair price to me. And then the question is, how do you make that work from OKC's side? Because, again,
sorry to interrupt you, but what is fair? Like, what is, we've just seen a couple summers now. Mm-hmm. Or one summer where, you know, Paul George and Anthony Davis got traded for what felt like an ocean of draft picks.
Right.
Which seems out of the norm. Like, what is fair anymore? What is it? Like, fair compensation, generally speaking. I think it's such a fluid concept these days in terms of what trade value is, contract value. I mean, I get what you're trying to say. I totally do. I'm just saying this is a situation where Dallas is a necessary inclusion. They're not going to look at fair. They're going to look at, let me find a way to squeeze everything I can out of you for helping you.
They aren't necessarily a necessary inclusion because Cleveland's also lurking with that J.R. Smith contract. They could offer, you know, if we're talking OKC wants cap relief, Dallas could, or Miami could reroute one of these contracts, whoever it is, Waiters, Olynyk, James Johnson, whoever, send them to Cleveland. Cleveland sends the J.R. Smith contract to OKC. He pushed back the guarantee date to July 15th, and now he gets $4.4 million guaranteed instead of $3.9, but he's still owed almost $15.7 this year. So that's $11.3 million. You waive him. You cut out your cap right away. OKC's way under the tax. Mission accomplished on their end. So if Dallas tries to really play hardball, I mean, I think if you're Miami and you're really interested in trading for Russ, you're already on the phone with Dallas and Cleveland negotiating against both of them, and you're just trying to tamp down the price. Who will get involved in this deal for the cheapest price?
Right. While you were speaking, we just got a tweet from Shams. Kawhi Leonard has sent signed his Los Angeles Clippers contract, a 3-year, 103 maximum contract with a player option in the third season. Reported as 4 years initially.
Yeah.
Now it's a 3-year deal with a player option. Like, he's just signed a 2+1 deal.
Well, that's smart. That gets him. It gets him to the 10-year threshold.
Right. It's very smart.
Huh. That shit he just thinks. Good for him. Look,
players are owning this league right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Those are the issues with Miami. I think it's just, if it happens, it's going to be a 3-team deal, most likely. Mm-hmm. Never say never, but I just think to satisfy both Miami and OKC's desires in this trade, you probably have to loop in Dallas or Cleveland.
Right. But then again, I can say the same about Cleveland as I can Dallas.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, both teams would want to squeeze out something good. So where I'm sitting, and I might end up being completely wrong on this, and for Miami's sake, I hope I am wrong on this, I just don't see how Bam Adebayo is not moved here. I think he's the price.
I would think OKC would want him, though.
True.
If he's getting involved in that deal, OKC wants him.
Yeah, but then they can't. If they want him, then Miami is... then they can push back a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he's a big cost.
I mean, he's one of their biggest trade chips right now.
He is their biggest trade chip.
Yeah. I think if Miami does this deal, they have to give up at least one of Winslow, Hero, Adebayo, plus probably a 2022 pick swap.
So what is Miami trying to do here?
I don't know. I think they just realized they're stuck. Their whole goal was, we want to get two max spots for 2020. All of a sudden, they realize the 2020 free agent class sucks. They get Jimmy, who's going to be 30 in September.
Mm-hmm.
They have Russ. They can go get Russ. They can maximize their window with Jimmy for a couple years.
But what is a maximized window for them with those players?
Right.
Second round?
Yeah, probably. But I think that's, Pat Riley can go off and retire in the sunset because he brought in two stars. Whatever. I don't see a way to make this a championship team regardless. But at least that gives you the highest ceiling for 2 years until they both really start to decline.
Yeah. No, I can see that. I'm already there in terms of the decline for Westbrook, at least.
Yeah.
Because he's just such an athletic player who relied on it so much.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd have to be completely idiotic to not notice that, if you're an NBA team.
Yeah.
What's the upside here?
You could hope that things break in your favor somehow. Maybe Russ and Jimmy coexist better than anyone expects. I personally hope this happens, because I just think it would be karmically hilarious if Jimmy Butler forced his way to Miami, left a contender in Philly. Jimmy, I just want to win Butler. Goes to Miami, where he thinks he's going to be the number one option, get up all the shots and whatever. And then he has to share the ball with Russell Westbrook for the next 4 years. It would be just so picture perfect. But you know, maybe we're underrating this. Maybe those guys would coexist really well. Maybe Winslow or Adebayo, if they keep either one of them, maybe they take a big step forward. Maybe whoever they keep of Kelly Olynyk or Myers Leonard, maybe they're the perfect stretch five for these guys. Who knows? Maybe this all works, but probably not. Like, it probably raises, as I said at the top of the show, I think Westbrook raises your floor. Mm-hmm. I think that he, a Butler-Westbrook Miami Heat team, is effectively a playoff lock if both of those two guys stay healthy. I would not be that worried about them once you get into the playoffs. Maybe they get in the second round. Maybe they're the third best team in the East somehow. But I don't think they're a real threat to either Philly or Milwaukee.
No, and that's really what it comes down to. But fair enough, if they want to go that route, that's fine with me. And the same can be said about the Detroit Pistons, who we should talk about next.
Let's go right into the Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
So, because they are the other team that I've seen mentioned most in conjunction with Westbrook.
Right.
They have Blake Griffin, who I would assume, I know, you know, he had been a rumored target for the Thunder for a while, given his Oklahoma ties, but I assume if you are trading for Westbrook, you want to keep Blake Griffin. I think that would be the whole point, right? There's no reason to trade for Westbrook and then trade your only star away. So
right. The idea would to, you know, create some sort of team with Drummond, Griffin, and Westbrook, right? And then,
right,
I guess, Dumbuya as the fourth best player, which is insane. Yeah.
So, I mean, they have Reggie Jackson this year is at $18.1 million. Tony Snell's at $11.4 million. So that is slightly less than what you need to send out. Any team that acquired Westbrook needs to send out at least $30.725 million in salary, if I did my math right. So that's basically $1 million less, but you throw in any of Luke Kennard, Thon Maker, Dumbuya, whoever. Even Khyri Thomas, I think, probably does the trick. Throw in any of those guys and you hit the salary matching you need. Does that make sense for both sides is the question again. For Detroit, I don't think they give a damn about giving up Reggie Jackson or Tony Snell. They're fine with that.
Yep.
OKC gets a little bit of salary relief, gets under the tax, and both of those guys, Jackson's a free agent after this year. Snell has a $12.2 million player option in 2020-2021. But again, then it comes down to, great, you have the salary ballast. What else are you giving me?
Right. Reggie Jackson back to OKC would be hilarious, by the way.
Hey, at least he could finally have his dream of running. He could Jimmy Butler in OKC. He can just run his own team and put up points and put up shots. And score
are you 25. Just forgetting that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is there now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
He won't be able to run his own team there. And by the way, he got plenty of chances to run his own team in Detroit. And yeah, I think the results speak for themselves.
Well, I mean, he was injured for a good portion of his time in Detroit, unfortunately.
Even healthy, he was just so-so.
Yeah, when healthy, he's been decent. I mean, it's been a while. Like, you know, he played the full 82 this past season and was better than he had been for a few years now. 2015-16 was definitely the high water point of the Reggie Jackson experience. And
yeah,
at this point, that ship has probably sailed. But
I think that's correct, yeah.
But he probably wants one more chance to put up big numbers, and before he hits, like, he might be one of the best free agents on the market next year.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, now it goes back to OKC. Is one of Kennard, Maker, Dumbuya enough plus the salary relief? Do you need another pick involved there?
Well, I mean, look, you know how high I am on Sekou Doumbouya.
I do.
I mean, if this was a straight Russell Westbrook for Doumbouya trade, I would hesitate if I'm Detroit. Mm-hmm. I like Doumbouya that much, and he's 18 years old. Giving that up for a 31-year-old who is going to be earning $47 million at age 34 and it is going to be, you know, more and more untradeable as he ages, I just don't see the upside to that at all. So already there, like throwing in all that plus Dumboya. No, if I'm Detroit, I'm not touching that. But you're right that it would probably have to be somewhere along that, like Reggie Jackson, Tony Snell, and Thon Maker.
Mm-hmm.
Like that one is the interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is that enough for OKC?
I don't care if it's enough for them. That's in terms of the trade value. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, are you going to get a better offer only if you can get that immediate cap relief?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the best option here for OKC, right, is if it becomes a bidding war between Miami and Detroit.
For sure.
Really.
Absolutely.
Because then they can get, then they can ask for more. Like right now, I think they would settle for cap relief. Mm-hmm. But if it becomes a bidding war and someone says, well, screw it, we'll throw in, like if Miami throws in a 2022 swap.
Mm-hmm.
Or Detroit goes, well, we'll give you an unprotected, you know, some pick in 2026 or whatever, where, you know, Blake Griffin is old and Andre Drummond is probably not a Piston anymore, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, then it becomes interesting for, you know, OKC. Is that situation realistic? I don't know.
Yeah. I would think if I'm OKC here, I would prefer Kennard to Thon Maker just because...
Oh, for sure.
Kennard, he's got 2 years left on the rookie deal. Thon is up for restricted free agency next summer. I just think you want as much time to evaluate this guy before you have to make an extension decision. Like, if you trade for Thon, you either have to give him an extension right away or he hits restricted free agency next summer. And I don't think there's going to be a huge market for him, at least based on his production to date, but... I would just think he would want more time to evaluate that before you have to make that decision either way.
Right, so. But if you're going from that route, if you're looking at it from OKC's perspective, I mean, you should want Dumboya.
Well, yeah, of course. Right.
I mean,
right.
Okay.
But yeah, if it's between only Kennard and Thon Maker, I think you definitely want Kennard in that regard. So yeah, I mean,
yeah, because one is good.
Right. That certainly helps.
Yeah.
Let's go through... I've seen the Cleveland Cavaliers mentioned. I really do think it's just because of the J.R. Smith contract. I don't think it makes any sense for them to actually trade for Russell Westbrook. I just think it's them helping facilitate a three-team deal with Miami. But
well, it's the UCLA connection people want to bring back, right?
Right, I guess so. Do you think there's any sense in Cleveland actually sniffing around and trying to trade for Russ?
No, I mean, it's Cleveland, though. They've done some weird things, so...
Yeah, and they have plenty of salary. I mean, Tristan Thompson's at 18.5, Brandon Knight, 15.6, Jordan Clarkson, 13.4. All of those guys expire after this year. The aforementioned J.R. Smith contract, which is immediate cap relief, they could offer, if they're really not sold on this Garland Sexton... They could offer one of those guys.
I love that you say that they haven't played a minute together. And like, we're already out on it. That would be hilarious.
Right. Well, maybe they trade Sexton, and you know,
they
could. They have the ability to do this. You could easily construct a trade much more so than with Miami. But just a question of why would they?
Yeah, I don't see it. Maybe the whole butts in seats, as you alluded to previously.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe that's the driving force here?
I guess so. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's... If I'm a Cavaliers fan, I'm not panicking anytime I see the Cavaliers mentioned. I really, really, really do think it is just because of the J.R. Smith contract, and it would be a three-team deal, and you would not be getting Russell Westbrook, but I could be very wrong.
I mean, on some level, I kind of get it because... Non-LeBron Cleveland teams. I mean, what's the appeal, really? It's Cleveland. It's not sexy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Cavaliers, one of the most bland franchises of all times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you are going to perpetually be a mid-tier team, which without LeBron, they've always been. I mean, yeah, sure, they had some success in the 80s, but that's about it. I mean, they've never really been there, if you know what I mean. Meaning, right. I mean, LeBron took them there, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, maybe for them, because they're not a free agent destination in the same sense, that they just need to get some sort of allure to the team. Like, hey, we traded for Russell Westbrook and we had him play with Kevin Love. You all know these players. These are names. These are household names. We can get names. And maybe they try to build up some sort of fan equity in terms of, you know, brand. Right. And then try to use that as some sort of stepping stone to becoming a legitimate NBA franchise who can draw free agency contact.
Yeah.
Or interest, free agency interest. That's the only perspective I can see functioning from their side. Otherwise, I agree with you. It just makes no sense.
Yeah. Yep. The only other team I could see doing a trade now, the Orlando Magic. They can't trade Vooch or Terrence Ross, at least now, because they just re-signed both of those guys. But they still have Aaron Gordon at $19.9 million, Evan Fournier at $17.2 million, Markelle Fultz at $9.7 million.
And you mean the same Markelle Fultz that they just recently said we have no idea when he'll play?
Pray OKC was not paying attention to that.
All right.
Yeah. Mo Bamba at $5.7 million, even though...
You're kidding me with these names now. Come on.
Well, I mean, they just re-signed Vooch and Kem Birch. Yeah. Maybe they're... Who knows what they're doing with Bamba? All I'm saying is they have the salary ballast in Garrett, Gordon, and Fournier, and they have some degree of prospects with Fultz and Bamba. I don't think they would include Isaac in this deal. Probably one of Fultz or Bamba is the answer here.
They shouldn't even include Aaron Gordon or Bamba. Like, if at most Fournier, right?
Like, well, just to make the money work. I guess they could probably do Fournier, Fultz, and it would have to be Fournier, Fultz, and Bamba, probably? Or DJ Augustine?
Oh, God, no. Come on. No. Why would... because it's Orlando. I get it.
Yeah.
Like, they might be desperate enough. Okay, if that's the package being offered... Like, that's the one package where OKC should be going, yep, done. No backsies.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, the tricky thing, again, with the salary matching is just finding a trade that, like, Gordon, Fultz, and Bamba would cut some salary for OKC, I believe, at least a little bit. Yeah, that would do it. It's just, that's a lot to give up for Russ.
Of course. But maybe that's really the key thing we should take away from this is Russell Westbrook's trade value is just so damn tricky. Because for some teams looking for relevancy, it might be higher than in terms of what his on-court production projects as.
Yeah.
Like, for some teams, he'll have negative trade value. They'll look at his contract and his age and his declining game and go, nope, I wouldn't even give him, a second rounder for him. And some would be like, oh, it's a name. He can bring us back to relevancy. Our name is the Orlando Magic. We haven't had a point guard since 1978 when we didn't even exist, basically. So if I'm OKC, I'm looking towards those teams who are just completely lost in terms of identity and culture and all of that. And I'm going, hey, you guys, here's Russell Westbrook. He's a very known commodity. He's going to... sell a lot of tickets, and you want him because he's like a multiple time All-Star.
Yeah.
Former MVP. You can sell him off as that. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Well, speaking of teams that are lost in culture, let's go into a couple that can't pull off a deal now, but could if for whatever reason OKC goes into the season with Russ, they don't like any of the packages being offered now.
Right.
They want to sniff around once all these free agents become available after December 15th. The first call I'm making is Phoenix.
Yeah. Yep. Phoenix makes sense. I want to add, though, I think the Orlando Magic should be in on that list instead.
In the mid-season trade?
Yeah.
So they could include one of Ross or Vooch instead?
Yeah. Ross specifically was the guy I had in mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay, Phoenix. So, they just gave $51 million to Ricky Rubio over 3 years, which is, oh boy, that's quite a gamble. Tyler Johnson is earning like 19 point something.
19.2, yep.
Yeah, I mean, that was always not great. Oubre is coming up. They need that point guard. arguably, because they have Rondo, but I wonder if Rondo is the right player for that system. It's up-tempo, it's multiple shooters. It's like they want to still run and gun, and I don't know if Rubio is that type of player.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they need something, right? They're kind of like in the same situation as Orlando. They don't have an identity.
Right.
Like, they've tried to build a culture up around Devin Booker, who's, like, getting more and more impatient every single summer.
Yeah, I mean, they've missed the playoffs 9 years running, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's something around there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe they're desperate enough. But look, this is my point again. Maybe they're desperate enough? That's how we're looking at this situation, Brian.
Yeah. I think you have to. I don't think... I mean, yes, Houston has been rumored because they're rumored with every big star ever. But I don't think Russell Westbrook makes sense for a grand majority of contenders to target.
I don't think he makes sense for any contender.
Yeah, for the reasons we laid out at the very start of the episode. The age, the contract, and the fact that he wants to be the alpha.
Right. And he also doesn't make sense for any team currently going through a rebuilding process, because he's going to be 31 and earning $170 million. What does that leave you with? All the teams that we've talked about so far: Miami, Detroit, Cleveland, Orlando, now Phoenix, mid teams. Like, again, mm-hmm. Yeah, Phoenix is like rebuilding. You could argue the same about Cleveland, although when Kevin Love is healthy and all that, maybe they're a little bit better than that. But these are teams that have no direction or are stuck in the middle. Like, these are the teams that Russ can go to.
Right. Well, because...
which is really not very inspiring when you look at it.
Phoenix, in particular, seems to be under the impression that they aren't just going to suck forever. And, I mean, at this point, there is no reason to believe that. Look at the series of moves they've made this summer. They've actively taken a step backward when they should be, like, a salary dumping TJ Warren and the number 32 pick was just so outrageously bad. We need to mention it every episode between now and June 30th, just to remind you of just how dumb that was. Getting rid of DeAnthony Melton just to get away from Josh Jackson, who you drafted number 4 2 years ago. I understand Josh Jackson, they were out on him, as I think, frankly, they should be. Still giving up a good prospect in Melton just to get out of him is terrible. It's just, yeah. I mean, so yes, I think Phoenix is now at the point where they realize we suck. We're just not going to, we suck at team building. We suck at drafting. We suck at free agency. We have to overpay anyone to even consider coming here. We don't have a way out of this thing. Devin Booker's going to get pissed soon if he hasn't already. He's going to request a trade soon because he realizes, yeah, he can keep putting up 25 points a game on a team that wins 25 games a year, but he's going to want more than that soon. And sure, maybe Booker and Ayton turn out well. Maybe they somehow lift this franchise, but what in the past few years suggests that Phoenix is capable, even if those two guys are single-handedly great,
right?
The rest of the team, just based on the owner and the front office, they're going to short-circuit it at some point. So, yeah.
Are you telling me the team that chose not to draft Luka Doncic won despite having a Slovenian coach who they had for 1 year and then fired and is letting James Jones run the entire front office despite having virtually no experience in that field is out of their depth, Brian?
I'm saying they sound like a perfect Russell Westbrook trade destination for all of the reasons you just mentioned. And the other one that comes to mind is, of course, the New York Knicks.
Yay, I was waiting for this one. It's just, look, that makes sense to me. Just take the league's worst-run franchise over the past 20 years and plug in one of the most overrated players the league has had also over the past 20 years with the gigantic contract of $170 million, who's only big in name these days, and stats, because that matters, apparently. And then you just sell him on the entire Knicks, or try to sell him on the entire Knicks fan base, who are going to basically commit mass suicide after the acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it sounds like it's going to happen in that sense. Like, it seems inevitable for Russell Westbrook to end up in Nick.
I mean, they just signed everyone to a 2-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Portis, Taj Gibson. Seems like Reggie Bullock, their deal is being reworked because they are reevaluating his fitness to play a full season, according to Woj.
Yep. But and then they got Marcus Morris instead.
I don't know if that is that official or is it. Last I saw, just considering.
Yeah, that's true. But if so, that would be hilarious.
Yeah, because they don't have enough power forwards.
Right. Oh God, that's so. What? Let me just go through them. Right. So Julius Randle, Bobby Portis, Taj Gibson, Marcus Morris, Kevin Knox is more of a 4 than a 3 anyway.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yep. Really good team building from the Knicks. So,
wow. Yeah.
Yeah, they have a bunch of these guys on 2-year deal with second year team options. So, plenty of salary, long-term salary relief for OKC. I don't think they're giving up RJ Barrett in the deal, but they have Frankie Smokes, who they seem very out on. They could offer Dennis Smith, they could offer Kevin Knox, they could offer Alonzo Trier, a bunch of somewhat intriguing young guys. There are pieces to make this deal work.
I love it. It has to happen. I mean, with all those power forwards, you're going to need a 2-time assist champ of the, you know.
True.
Passing them the ball.
Yeah. Unless you just want to play 5 power forwards together, which they very well might, based on how they've gone about this offseason.
You know what's really sad, though? Of all the power forwards that they acquired, Russell Westbrook would be a better rebounder than all of them.
That might be true. That genuinely might be true. I mean, I just think going from... If James Dolan in March goes on the radio and says, from everything we hear, we're going to have a big summer with free agents. And then you fast forward to December 15th, and you look at this Knicks roster, and then they trade some of these guys away for Russell Westbrook. That's just going to be the biggest come down for Knicks fans in the span of a year, probably since they thought they were getting Zion and then had to settle for RJ Barrett.
Are you going to tell me that the Knicks can't spin Westbrook, Randle, and RJ Barrett into a marketable product?
Oh, of course they will. Yeah, absolutely. It'll be the best 32-win team you can watch in New York.
Oh, but look, this is just a long way of us saying Russell Westbrook is a really complicated contract and player and dude and personality and whatever trade is going to take place, because he is going to get traded, I think. I don't think he's going to end up on OKC at the start of the season. I can't imagine. So
I agree.
It's just such a weird... I mean, the entire situation is just so weird. Like, here's a guy who won the MVP award 2 years ago.
Yep.
Like, he was the league MVP. And even then, even though he's taken only a few steps down in his production, like, it's mostly been efficiency and, like, his physicality has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all knew, even then, 2 years ago, that, you know, this is a very complicated and special player that doesn't fit in everywhere. Like, he's not someone you just plug and play. Like, he plugs and plays himself in the own way that he wants to play, and everyone has to get with that program. Otherwise, like, no. I just don't in any way see a trade where he ends up somewhere and he makes that team dramatically better.
Yeah.
I just don't. Like, yeah, he might take a bad team to become a middling team, which is better, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to get it all the way. I mean... Since Durant left, OKC has been a first-round exit team, right?
Yeah, they've won, I think, 3 playoff games in total.
Okay, so for a guy who's, for many people out there, looked at as being the best point guard in the league, and some are saying best player in the game because hashtag triple-doubles, right?
Right.
You should win more than 3 playoff games in 3 years.
Yeah. Oh, no, sorry. 4 playoff games in 3 years.
Oh, I see. That makes a ton of difference, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's... No. I don't know. I just think it's time for everyone to come on home and just acknowledge, you know, his career is always going to be one of those weird ones that we talk about for the next 20 years without having the ability to properly describe or grasp what the hell kind of player he really was.
Yeah.
Like, he's always going to be an outlier player.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's always going to be, I think, what he ends up getting traded for is going to be eye-opening. It's just the best way I can say it. Because I just don't think you're getting anywhere near, not even what, I mean, Anthony Davis and Paul George were on a tier of their own. I don't think you get what the Bulls did for Jimmy Butler.
No. Nope.
I don't even know if you get, you definitely don't get what the Clippers got for Tobias Harris.
Yeah. No, like, I agree.
A good prospect at 2 first-round picks? No way.
I don't necessarily think you're even going to get what Minnesota got for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, that's probably in the, we're like approaching that territory, right, in terms of a reasonable request. But yeah, I think it really is, cap relief is going to be the biggest selling point. And then whatever pick or prospect you can get, great. But you're going to just have to, if you're an OKC fan, you just have to view this move in conjunction with the Paul George trade, because you got so much more for him than you should have, that if you get less for Westbrook than you should from just a pure talent standpoint,
right,
that's fine, because the age and the contract do hurt his trade value.
If you disregard contract,
mm-hmm,
what team, like, just ignore contracts altogether, which team out of the 29 other ones out there do you look at and go, oh, he would be a positive addition to that team? Like, he would take that team to the next level. The fact that you even have to think about it.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, there are teams out there, I'm sure.
Like, yeah.
It would be a team that doesn't have a strong point guard in place, which I think, mm-hmm, part of the issue is a lot of teams do. But, like, the Wizards would happily, if disregard contract, the Wizards would openly welcome Russell Westbrook. The Timberwolves probably would.
Would it make Washington better to have the ball run through Westbrook instead of Beal?
I mean, I think just having another NBA caliber player in Washington would make them better, yes.
Yeah, okay.
I think the Wizards are at such a talent deficit right now with Wall out that, yeah, they should be, if you're not counting contract, they should just be in talent accumulation mode. The Timberwolves would take him. I don't know that he makes them significantly better in terms of their playoff competitiveness, but
I mean, he's better than Jeff Teague, obviously.
Yeah, right, of course. But does he make them a real threat in the West? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, there aren't many teams where I really do think, as you said, I'm with you that I think he gets traded this summer, and I think the Pistons and the Heat really do make the most sense. It would, yeah. I one of those two teams, maybe the Magic come in as a dark horse, but I think one of those two teams really, you can talk yourself into it just because of how stuck they are otherwise.
Right. I mean, for the Pistons, it just seems like one of those let's get crazy kind of moves.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm looking at this whole league, right? I'm looking at a list of all the teams in the league, and I'm struggling to find a place where it just, like, it makes sense,
yeah,
to have a very, very ball-dominant, non-shooting point guard.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to find.
Yeah.
So we will stay tuned, obviously, if or when a trade does happen, we will get together as quickly as possible and react to it. Otherwise, we will talk about Summer League soon, and we have a couple more evergreen ideas now that we're heading out of the big newsy period. We're going to kind of start to sort through the wreckage that this past week has left. So stay tuned. We got a lot of good stuff coming up. You can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. And we are now being hosted by Spreaker. So check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
You too, Brian. I look forward to you know, some of the weird episodes that we planned for, like, August, the league is going into the death months. So for all of you out there who are, you know, getting over free agency and are trying to look ahead to the summer, don't worry, we'll be in your ear. And also, thank you all to everyone for the support. We have had some really... we've been surprised, Brian and I. We started to look at our numbers, and you know, you guys have really been there, and that's awesome. So thank you for the support. You guys are awesome.
Indeed. And yeah, we'll keep hitting you with good stuff throughout the summer. We got the World Cup coming up too, so
yeah,
plenty of basketball ahead in our futures.
Let me tell you something. If France doesn't put Theo Maledon and Killian Hayes, who are both like 17, 18 years old, if they don't put them on the roster, I'm going to be really upset, because that would be such a great way to see what they are, because they're going to be in the draft next year. See, really looking forward to the World Cup.
There we go. We got some World Cup hot takes coming your way. Get pumped.
Talk to you later, man.
Later.